The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Pete, Steve. That's in alphabetical order. And me, Justin, in the middle, near the start. And before that, actually. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're all right, lads.
A strong start.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I like to start strong, you know. Mm. Right, good night, that's it! So, how's the week been, boys? I mean, your stock market's been up and down. How's your portfolio list? I just have lots of chat about at the end. As you know, the new podcast, no chat at the start, just all about stocks and shares. And then we get at the end, we can do a little bit of chat. I mean, you know, Steve sent us a picture of his drones, his three sort of robotic cameras on tripods. They look like a mini War of the Worlds standing in his living room. What are they for, Steve? They're robotic AI cameras that can identify humans because you can't. Humans can't.
Yeah, no, they're called PTZ cameras. I'm trying to recreate the BBC News in my front room.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Did you see that once before where Hugh Edwards was just sitting there for ages, and it was live, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I don't know what time it starts now, but he was just sitting there for ages and just staring at the camera. What is wrong with him? Speak, man. Yeah. Speak. And he's just staring there for ages. And then surely there's someone else in the studio with him, rather than a robot, who can say, Hugh! You've been on for 5 minutes, fella. Crack on. Yeah. You know, but it was no standing there.
That's we do it every night.
Same time, you check your watch, fella. I know, check your watch, you're spot on. I thought that's the trouble with automation, isn't there? There's no producer saying,
I'll give you some context there if you want. But
all right, Paddy, you bring
your context. You're going to bring it down with context. Come on, Pad. With reality. Come on.
So they at 10 o'clock, they link up the news channel and BBC One, and they were waiting for the two channels to come together. But I think the news channel was, or BBC One was broken or something, so he had to sit there waiting for the other channel to join.
But you could have just said something. So, sorry, we're waiting for the other channel to join. They'll join any minute.
Just fill, Hugh. Fill for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Sing a song or something.
Do what we're doing now. Just do a bit of banter, a bit of chat at the start, you know, before you get into stuff. That's what we do in the podcast, sort of warm people up. Before you actually get into the heavy-duty stocks and share stuff, we just have a little bit of banter. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's heard our podcast and thought, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that's not the approach.
At the end of the podcast, listen, I'm going to tease what I've got here. I've got something really funny my son said, and it made me laugh out loud. And it just went sort of sex education. And also, we talked about a COVID test. Paddy and I have had a COVID test. It's quite invasive, but quite enjoyable. We'll talk about that. And the latest, magic number 6, which is absolutely ridiculous policy from the government again. Just when you think they can't do another one, they bring another one out. And I just say, it's insane. So we'll talk, there's lots to look forward to at the end of the podcast. But first of all, let's get into stocks and shares. There's been a bit of a debate on Twitter this week. And one of the guys, it was a nice guy, he's been on the podcast, in fact, Willie Geeler, has said, if anyone's telling you they're doing 100%, they're a liar. They're 100% merchanters. They're just pump and dumpers. And then you go in discussion with a lot of traders. He's a traditional investor who holds about 30, 40 stocks, I believe. And I want to talk about this because I did a spreadsheet on diversification and what the optimum amount of shares to have. In fact, let me open that up and I'll tell you. But a lot of traders argue with him. Say, no, I've done 100% this year. And I don't know whether they mean in stocks or in their portfolio, but it is possible to do 100%, in stocks. Of course it is. And even in portfolio. But the bigger your portfolio gets, the harder it gets. Because the returns are generally on small cap stocks. And you can't get the size on the small cap stocks. Because my portfolio's gone up. But I can't take massive chunks of a tiny sub sort of 10 million market cap, even 5 million, because you can't buy the amount you want. You can't trade in that amount because you can't get in and out quickly. So you have to get the stage where I'm going to hold this for 2-3 years because it's going to be a lot bigger in 2-3 years and I'll be able to come out if I want then.
Well, I don't know how relevant that is to most people.
Let me say one thing. If you look at something to sub, say, 5 million, right? You have a problem, say, I don't know what size trading, but let's say, you could probably do a grand in and out, a couple of grand in and out. You can't do anything more than 10 grand in and out on, say, sub 5 million, or unless they've got high liquidity. And, because you just can't get, you can't even buy, you can't even sell to get out. So I'm talking about trading. So that's why, trade on really small microcap stocks. Now, in decent cap, just depend on the size of your portfolio. You want to do, depends on the size of the portfolio, of course. But I mean, if you're investing more, a decent return, you've got to put more than that in, if you're depending on the size of the portfolio. But it's that's why trading on small cap stocks, you only do small amounts, really. You can't do big chunks. But kind of diversification.
Sub, right? Sub 5 million, I'd call micro cap.
Micro cap, I think so.
Small cap, you can get more than what you're talking about. If it's a 20 million or 10 million even market cap, you can buy a sizable chunk, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Listen, the way to do it is this, and this is where I've done it. And I'm looking at my returns to date, right? And so, weirdly, you can't do 100%. I don't trade in and out day to day. I buy now and again. I don't trade in it day to day. But my returns, year to date, this is from the start of this year, are 34.4%, all right? 12 months, 154%. That's my entire portfolio. In the last 36 months, and this is looking at my Barclays, they only since 2017 did Barclays start doing analyzer of, you know, you can analyze a portfolio and look at graphs and put in certain dates and look at your portfolio performance. So the last 36 months, I've done 506%. And that's because this is a ploy I normally do. When I see a company with very low risk and definitely high reward, that the reward outmatches the risk in my mind when I've done research on it, you go big early. Go in big early, really big early. Wait for the move to happen, then de-risk, but still hold. I did it with Gfinity. I did it with, well, Sonic Bonnet a little bit. But you've got to go big at the start because I just think, I see it with that. When you've got a company that's 74% cash, all right, they've got a cracking management team, they've got a plan, they've got demand, they're growing, there's not a problem, we'll question that. I know you had your opinions on escape rooms, but they've got the demand there. It doesn't matter. People are turning up to these their escape rooms and taking part, even with COVID. In fact, COVID now, the 6 people rule, that's better for them than, say, bowling alleys or cinemas, because it's not a big room full of lots of people. It's just 6 people go in, they do their session an hour, you know, half an hour in between, clean up, disinfect, spray the thing down, another 6 people go in. And so they can still carry on. But so you go in big at the start, and I see that with Escape, and I see they're rolling out. They've been sold off massively due to COVID, but people can't take part in that. But they've got money now, $4 million in cash, more than $4 million cash. They're only valued at $5.4 million market cap. That's insane. When you look at the growth they're achieving, they're at 9 sites now. They're going to be at 20 sites in a year's Q2 2022. They'll be at 15 sites to be break-even. They'll be at that next year. They will not have to fundraise again because they'll do bank debt because they can do that because they'll have the profits and revenue. So I just think this will be an industry. It'll be another option you have to go out with. And like I said, you know, when you guys come down, for example, we always say, what should we do? Play golf? Steve didn't like golf because he always gets hammered. But you know, but he always says at the end, well, we all won, didn't we, really? When you're a group of people, we're all winners. But when you're a group of people and you ask us, what should we do? You know, so you got golf, for example. Megan can't play golf. She can't play it. So Steve doesn't like it. So out of the four of us, for example, if Paddy doesn't come down, you know, Paddy doesn't like anything really, apart from fun with real people in Croydon. So apart from that, right, so what do you do? What's your options? Bowling. Maybe can't play golf. She hates bowling. I'm okay with bowling. What's the other option? Let's do escape room. Do you know what? Escape rooms appeal. There's pubs, restaurants, there's cinema. You're not going to go to cinema, four of us or five of us with one girl. It's really odd, or even two girls, you know. But
Depends what happens in the cinema.
Escape rooms are 60 minutes. That's all they are. So you can fit them in with a restaurant, maybe even a pub as well. And demographically, they appeal. I've been to an escape room with 3 couples, it was. The women liked it as much as the men. There's very few things like that around. So what I'm saying is, it'll be an extra option. That's what it'll be. In the future, it'll be an extra option for people. So they are sustainable, and I believe they're a new industry. It's like Hollywood Bowl was 20 years ago when they first started, when there's loads of little operators around and they first started, explosion in the industry, and then all of a sudden the smaller people couldn't afford to keep on going, there wasn't enough popularity, the novelty wore off, there's enough room in big towns and cities, quite a few rooms, and the big guy, which is Escape Hump, have the money, they've got the leverage, they've got they've got 9 sites already, it costs them less and less to get things up and running, they'll survive, and they'll be the market leader. And to buy a market leader at sub 6 million with £4 million in cash, that's a good deal, I believe. That is a cheap, that's where I see the risk very low, the reward very high. At the moment, everyone's worrying about COVID, that'll pass. We'll have a vaccine by the end of the year for the people who need it. The rest of us don't need it, you know, it'll be fine. But anyway, what I talk about, diversification. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Optimal, because, I mean, Wheelie did it. He was talking, he has a lot of stocks. I think he holds about 30, 40, maybe even 50 stocks. He has two portfolios, right? And I was looking at this, And people often say, what is the optimal amount of stocks to have in a portfolio? And so I looked at it saying,
12.
Well, it could be. It's up to you. It's up to you, really, isn't it? But it's
9.
Well, I've got 9. I'm not going to go much above that. Because
11.
When I asked that question, that was rhetorical, really.
What's the right answer?
Oh.
Well, it's not right. It ain't the right answer.
14.
What I'm saying is this. Let's say you hold 100 stocks. Let's say you hold 100 stocks, right? And you get a 10-bagger, right? And you assume at the start, all the stocks take up an equal amount of portfolio space, percentage-wise. So they all take up, say, 1%. 100 stocks. They all take up 1%, right? And you get a 10-bagger. Your portfolio, that's, 100% rise, 1,000% rise, sorry, in one of the stocks. Your portfolio value, its entire value, will only have increased by 10%. Is that worth it? For a 10-bagger, they don't come along very often. If you get a 10-bagger, in my mind, I want to transform my portfolio value, you know?
So it's really interesting you actually brought this up now, because this is the reason I haven't invested in Escape Hunt. Because I'm trying to get my number of stocks down so I have a smaller number but a larger chunk of my portfolio in each one.
That's a good thing to do, though. That's a good thing to do,
well, that's what I'm trying to do. And I have held back from getting into Escape Hunt because I don't fully buy into it. And what I would be putting in there is probably punt money. You know, I go, yeah, all right, have a punt. And I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to go, no, I'm going to
go Hang on a second. If you look at the management of this company, they've got a clear path and a business model. They will become more than 60 million market cap. And that's all they need to be a 10-bagger. They will get there, and they don't have to raise any more money again. Because like I said...
I just think there must be better opportunities out there because of
at this level, there isn't a business that organised with that. If you look at the people on the board there, that organised at that level with that amount of cash at that valuation is not. There's not. Most of them are resource companies with this government.
You know, I can foresee
that. Ignore this government. I tell everyone, ignore the sixth figure. Go out and socialise with whoever you want. This government have their arse from their elbow. I'm embarrassed. I voted for these imbeciles.
You've got to factor that in. That next week they might announce. No, lockdown.
A ban on escape rooms.
Right, exactly.
That's fine, but this company... Okay, listen to this. Tell me any company out there, right, that can literally survive for 9 months, right, still expanding, 9 months, no revenue. That's what they can do. So they can do 9 months with no revenue, and they're doing revenue now anyway, but 9 months with no revenue, all right, and they can expand their operation in that 9 months. That's what Escape can do. There's very few companies out there can do that. Most of the small cap companies you talk about, sub 10 million, will need to raise money within the next year. Most of them don't earn any revenue anyway. But as it is, they won't. I mean, they can still operate quite nicely. Optimum level for them is about 8 people per session, but 6 is fine. They can do 6. So there are companies. Okay.
Should we explain what escape rooms are for people who don't live in the provinces?
That's a good point, because Steve is in Cardiff, and there are people who haven't been. The majority of people in this country have never experienced an escape room. Never. And you see the figures in there, and they're growing quickly. I've got in my video on the weekend, I'll show you all the stats, and it's amazing how quickly this is growing as a space. But essentially, there are an escape room. They are a premium product. They've been BBC got together with them to do Doctor Who themed rooms and sites. But they've also been. Don't make fun of people like Doctor Who, okay? Because if you look at nerdy market's massive. Game Workshop was 20 bagged in the last 5 years. And it's now £100 a share. And that's what those... what's it called? Thorhammer? Or either of those little models and stuff. The nerdy
dorks you see sat around a big table on a Friday night.
Whoa. Yeah, the nerdy market is massive. So don't underestimate that. But what I'm saying is Escape Hunt have a premium product. Like I said, they've got alignment with the BBC, They've also got a franchise in the US. But they also have won sort of two TripAdvisors. All 8 of their Escape Hunt rooms. I mean, you've got to be around for 12 months or longer. So all 8 of those, they're around for the Traveller's Choice Award. Now, the one in Birmingham, which has been around doing VR and AR in there as well, and made a new model, it's in Birmingham's Resort World, only opened in December, so it couldn't be nominated for that. But it's been announced as a top attraction in Birmingham, the West Midlands, and number 7 across the whole of UK. That's including Croydon, Paddy. Yeah! So anyway, and what they are, you go into these rooms, there's different options. You go in with Escape Hunt, you'd have, say, 3 rooms in a site, and you could have different themes. One could be a Doctor Who theme, one could be, I tell you what, a good escape theme. Think of this, boys, I just thought of this. 2020, Escape 2020. Because this year's been mad, everyone wants to just leave this year, don't they, with COVID and all that. I think that the pandemic escape room will be very, you know.
I'm happy to wait till December 31st, and then we leave anyway.
So anyway, so you go in a room, yeah. And there's a different parts.
So you walk into a room, they chain you up.
You got 60.
You
no, you got 60.
You have to escape.
They chain you up.
You got. That's Paddy's Croydon rooms. That's.
And you pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah. So yeah. You got 60 seconds to get out. You have to solve. It's like a crystal maze type of thing. You have to solve different puzzles.
60 seconds.
60. Not, so, sorry, 60 minutes. Yeah.
All right.
So it's easy fittable in with the other things you want to do for an evening. You know. So you can fit. And there's a countdown. There's a speakers that give you clues. You're on the wall. There's all different things. Put things in. Things in. Take something from the safe. Open this safe. So you all work together. It's a good icebreaker. If you want a date or something, you know, go on to a date. That'll either. So it's good to you sit down and you solve problems and get out and you go yay, and you pick your take, and it's a very good experiential thing because people want to people share it on social media, all that, and that almost fuels the advertising in the thing. So that's what an escape room is, you know. And I genuinely think it'll be an industry like bowling was at the moment. Bowling exploded like 20 years ago, whatever, in this country, and then it calmed down, and now it's just a regular. People use it as an option to go out once a month, once a year, even doesn't matter. That's all you need.
Basically, it's a cheap crystal maze. That's what you're explaining it as.
Yeah.
And a fad.
Well, hang on. It's not a fad. It's not a fad. It's
come and gone in Cardiff. Like, they all open
no,
in
no,
Cardiff.
But this, this, no, 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 but all is in Cardiff, Steve. Right? You've got one room, right, with a farmer in there. Right? That's all you got, or something, right? And a sheep. He said, right, using the farmer... Try and get out, and that's all you have to do. Say, excuse me, buddy. Where's the door then? It's over there. See it? All right, cheers. Why have you got the sheep in you? I don't know. It's just part of the theme, really. So that's the level of quality in the escape room car. But
honest, it sounds horrendous.
Paddy.
I quite like that.
But Paddy, right? Paddy's idea for fun, it literally, is talking to having fun with real people in Croydon. There ain't no such thing as that. There ain't no such thing. All I'm saying is, this will be a viable industry. There won't be the amount of escape rooms. That's what I'm saying, Pete. You are seeing, Steve, what you're seeing right now is a whittling down in metropolitan areas. I mean, Cardiff is a little bit, there's people who've never seen this. There's like 69 cities in the UK, right? There's about 30 big towns over 100,000 population. There's easy enough for every one in sort of every big town, but a couple in the big cities. So there's plenty here, and they're at 9 at the moment. That's all they're at. The best product and the most, and the only, the other market here, they've got a listing, that's what I'm saying. They've got cash. The small mom and pop's operations, we've got one operation. It won't be viable for them to carry on in the end. They'll leave. The industry consolidates. The big, best player will stay there, and this will be an industry leader. They already are an industry leader.
And then when you've escaped from the room, presumably you can't go back and do it again anytime soon.
No, they can make it harder for you. It takes about 60 minutes, you know, because it's funny.
Yeah, but like once it's done, it's done. You can't like
For example, their sites, they have about, let me just look at it, 4 rooms, I think, per site, so different themes, you know, so it's all different themes. But listen, what I did the one down the road, and literally, I think it's just, you know, one-man band.
Shed. We told you about that guy.
You've got to get out of my shed into my living room, all right? And there's no keys, and I just looked in the wall, and that's in the wall, and there's a keys thing there. It's a key thing.
Are you a burglar? Is it just a burglar?
Yeah. But
there for about a week, wasn't
it? To be fair, it was quite good. We had a good time. It was, you know, and it's kind of thing. You could have a couple of drinks before you go in, have a good laugh, you know, make fun of the person who has no idea what's going on, like Steve. It's all right.
Are there like out of work actors just like really trying hamming it up?
No, they don't. They can have in the bigger ones, but they don't. It's a low sort of labour model. They can scale as much as they want. They can be busy. A lot of it's going to be automated.
So
back to diversification.
can I just say though?
Yeah.
I take all that on board, but I'm trying to be disciplined here and trying to work towards my plan of having less stocks and having bigger chunks in companies that I really do. I'm confident in all the points on the financials you've given us there, but it would just be another one that I'm kind of like, hold on, I'm trying to reduce the number of stocks. I'm actually adding to the portfolio, this one might go up. We might see a nice 30-40% rise, and then it might crash back down a bit because it's a lot of uncertainty. And then Boris will go ban on all.
Hang on a second. Think of all the businesses that'll affect this before this. They can deal with 6 people. That's not a problem. They can't go below 4 people.
Yeah, their revenue's going to take a hit, surely.
Well, no, but it's more sessions is fine. They only need 3 sessions per room. Listen now.
Make more hours.
3 sessions per room.
Yeah, 24/7. No, okay, but then
there'll be a lot more businesses that suffer before this business does. Honestly,
okay.
Let me ask you a question, Pete. Let me ask you a question. How many stocks do you have in your poof right now?
14.
14. Oof. Oof. Well, listen. So if you, the total number of holdings are 20, right? They're all equally spaced 20. So what is that? So and 20 stocks. So what's that? 5% each, for example. And you have a 10 bagger. Your entire portfolio value will go up by 50%. Now, again, is that enough, really? I mean, it's quite good. But if you get a 10 bagger, like I said, they're very few and far between. I still want my portfolio value to increase by more than that, you know? So that's why if you've got a 10, you just halve that. You have 10 stocks and you get a 10 bagger. And it's all about risk reward. Your portfolio value will double. If you go down, if you take a big hit, for example, and of course, there's always the risk side of this. So, for example, if you go to 10 stocks and one of the companies you have just collapses and goes through, you've lost 10% maximum, of course. Now, if you do that with 100 stocks, you've lost 1% maximum. So, the more stocks you have, the less risk, but the less reward. Simple as that.
I know, that's the flip side, isn't it? But that's what I'm saying. I'm happy to move towards that more, higher risk, but, like,
Tell me the stocks you have. And maybe Paddy and Steve will say dump or hold. I think it's a good game, this. Go.
Okay. Asia Met.
Hold.
Right. C4XD.
Hold.
Okay. ClearStar.
Hold.
Feedback.
Terrible. Oh, no. Dump that.
Yep. Gfinity.
Hold.
Lloyds. My one big
dump. Yeah. What do you want to mess on Lloyds? Just get a tracker. If you want a big cap stocks,
Open Orphan. A little bit, I've de-risked in that, so like, and I've taken profit out of that, but I've still got it. Polarian,
hold.
Predator, but I've de-risked and taken profit. I've just still got a little holding in that. Rosslyn Data Technologies.
That's a good. I mean, ClearStar thing are decent small businesses that'll do well. Now, in my portfolio, I've got most of the companies I hold those two, but do I see them as 10 baggers? I don't know. I see them as. I don't say they'll do 10 baggers. When I look at companies, I think. Do they have the potential to do? Can they scale to become a 10-bagger? Rosslyn Data and ClearStar, they could probably quite comfortably do 2-3 times their value right now, easy. But 10-baggers, maybe not. But they are more sensible companies. So you can have a couple of those in your portfolio, I think, sometimes, you know, so rather than just the blue sky opportunities.
Salt Lake Potash as well. And, of course, United Oil and Gas.
Again, you've got a couple there. You've got two oil and gas plays. Get rid of one of them, you know.
Well, but Predator, I've taken profit, and like I said, I'm just holding a. I don't know, but perhaps I should just sell. But yeah,
you know my thoughts on resource companies with no economic up to no real value generation milestone in the future. Yes, exploration companies, resource companies, the news will come out. They'll fly, they'll pop, then they'll drop because they realise they haven't got any cash or they need to raise cash, and they're not going to be generating cash for years and years and years. So that's why one of my filters is: will this company, do they have a line in the sand where they'll start generating actual cash because they don't have to go back to the market? And that's essential to generate proper value. So if you look in that respect, go through your stocks again. C4XD is one of those fellows that, I don't know, 1st of December, they'll have results out of this phase one trial. That's all you have to do. It's 2 months. What, 2.5 months? That's it.
Yeah.
So you will know if they get a payment. Now, if you're too impatient to do that, then jump out. But we know with Polarin, and also with Salt Lake Potash, they're going to start generating cash in March. The production starts in March. People may say, well, that's a long time off. Yes, we saw what happened to Polarin. With no seemingly milestone in the future, it just starts rising. Because people start getting the story, people start buying stock, sellers are gone. And like I said, Polarin again was testing all-time highs on Friday, and things. So you can't just say, I'll get back in a month before they start generating. Because it may rise a couple of months, Polarin is almost, next milestone. It's not a huge one. It's them handing over the documents to the FDA saying, here's our submission for a new drug application. So that's not a big milestone. And then a year after that, they probably get, it may be fast-tracked, who knows, because of COVID, but they get confirmation to say, yes, you can now market that commercially. But yet it's rising anyway. It's rising on the potential of that. So, stocks can start rising way before that milestone appears. So, but at least like C4XD, 1st of December, just over 2 months till we get the results in that phase one trial, and they could be getting a decent chunk milestone payment, you know. So I think 10 is plenty to keep an eye on. I know.
So I need to dump 4 or whatever to get to 10, and I still haven't got space to go into escape hunt.
Well, you have to look. Well, it's up to you then, isn't it? It's up to you, Peter.
So there we are. So there's my lesson.
Well, you've always said, Justin, you've always said, like, you should only ever invest in this company you actually truly believe in.
Yes, I think
we've all made it clear that we don't 100% personally believe in it. So why would we put money into it? So,
no, exactly. No, that's fine. And do you know what? There's always new opportunities, you know? I remember, Steve, I
started to get the feeling you were trying to say that we should be investing.
But I just genuinely think, listen, what I see is this. I see pretty much the worry, the fear of COVID is baked in. It's got to be. You're talking like, you know, 74% of its valuation is cash. That's nuts. You know, it's nuts. There's literally, they've assigned, what, only 2 million quid's worth of the value they'll generate over the next, what, year and a half. And they'll be at, like, by 2022, they'll be at 20 sites. That's their plan. These guys have planned it all out. They know where they're going to be. And do you know what? Right now, it's ideal because you've got landlords of retail outlets, high-quality retail outlets, desperate for tenants. Tenants are dropping like flies. They've said there's even the landlords are offering incentives for companies to become a tenant. So they can now, before, which they probably couldn't afford, the very top, you know, high footfall retail outlets, it wasn't their budget. Now they can. They've been offered these spaces. And so they are an opportunity. And yet people mistake a low share price for high risk. No. There's no risk here. There's no risk here, hardly any. I mean, because they've got all the cash. But people see a low share price as a risk. No, that's the opposite way around. You look at the wrong way. The cheap valuation is completely, and there's more potential reward there than risk because they got 4 million in cash.
On paper, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But I'm talking about risk, as in that business and that sector.
So the last set of results, I said, I'm talking about demand here, right? Their group revenue was up by 128% to £4.9 million last year, right?
For the year ending,
that's pre-COVID, isn't it?
For the year ending 31st of December. What I'm saying is, they said that. They said, listen, we're going through a period now where, of course, revenue will dip, but demand will come back, and it will. And revenue from owner-operated sites, so that's it. They've also got franchisees, right? So that was up by 275% to 3.8%. What have I always said? If you look at a company that's growing, look for double-digit percentage growth. That's growth.
I probably mixed with the wrong people, but during lockdown, I didn't hear anyone say, oh, I can't wait to get back to the escape room.
I didn't hear anyone who had COVID. You know, it's the biggest hyped situation in the world. I don't know anyone who's had it.
Don't get me started on that.
If they have had it, right, they've not had any symptoms. So what I'm saying is, that is gross. So what you're saying about demand, you're questioning the demand. Not demand, they've got demand. Don't worry about that. It's there. They wouldn't just open these rooms up if there wasn't any demand. They've got demand. It's there. And you only have to visit, you know, the population generally, even a tenth of the population has to probably visit once every 2 years to give them that demand. It's not even that. Not even that. Tenth of the population has to visit, you know. So you're talking about very small numbers. So I would go again. I went to that one probably a year ago, right? And there's only one room there, and I've forgotten all about it. I don't know what the heck was going on there. So I do the same one again, and in fact, boys, we're probably gonna, no. In fact, they're going to be opening up 2 new sites very soon. They're supposed to have opened by now because of COVID, and the ridiculous policies we've got to go along with that. They haven't opened. There's one in now these towns you're going to laugh at, but they're big towns and they can support it. So they're going to open in Basingstoke and Norwich. Hey.
Okay.
So, Pat, it's not all in Croydon yet, Pat, because Croydon's not, you know, it's not worth going there. Really.
Go out.
Vandalise. Like, you can't go out in Croydon. You'd just be mugged and stuff. You know,
Croydon's changed, mate.
They should open one in Cardiff because there's no more left in Cardiff.
Croydon, exactly. You can't do it. That's perfect. They probably are. And do you know what? I know a big investor on board, right, who's into retail. In fact, there's a couple of big investors on board. There's rumours that Luke Johnson, of course, who backed Pizza Hut, and he's head of Channel 4. He's invested. There's also a guy called John Story, who I know quite well, and I'm often in contact with him on a big chunk. He owns 5% of Gfinity as well. He owns 10% of Escape Hunt. and he's made lots of money. There's some very successful investors involved in here. So anyway.
And good luck to you and them and the business. I hope, you know, I never want to wish ill on anyone. I hope everyone does well out of it. It's great. For my own personal reason, I'm not getting involved.
No, exactly. Listen, there's always other opportunities. And I just saw this, and the more I researched, and the more the numbers, and the research from Zeus, their broker there, and I said, just reading the broker note, you'll understand. And the fact that they can, you know, now get to the point where there'll be a vaccine soon. Don't worry. I went to Turkey, right? It's so safe.
I'm not worried.
It's so safe going to Turkey. You go to the school run, everyone's standing close to each other, chatting, forgetting about COVID. But you travel or go to workplaces where they understand they have to adhere to rules, otherwise they'd be fined. They do it properly, you know? And so when I felt more safe travelling on a plane to Turkey than I did just going on a school run. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's escape. And like I said, there's always
maybe
more...
Maybe you should send your kids to school in Turkey.
Yes. There's always more opportunities, of course. There's plenty of opportunities in the stock market. That's what it's all about. But and I understand you didn't jump on board. But it's up to you. Any other news on the companies? By the way, did you see again, Gfinity? Steve, I had to bend your arm around your back there to get into that one. You weren't convinced there, were you?
No. Well, yeah, but same time.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, but I do get Gfinity. I get their kind of business model, and I think it will be big. But whereas escape rooms, I just don't have the same feeling on.
I keep telling you that though, and you wouldn't accept it though. You wouldn't have it though. In the end, I had your arm
Gfinity.
Around your
it
back.
It wasn't Gfinity. It was the other one. It was Bidstack.
That was Paddy on that.
No,
and then Paddy said, "No, you're all wrong, guys. You're wrong."
No, I bought it to Gfinity at the very beginning. Actually, it was Bidstack.
I bought it to Gfinity at the very beginning. Actually, I did very well. Actually, and Paddy's the one who said, "You're ridiculous, Bidstack." We all got in that. All got back out. And then Paddy got in. Why did you get in, Paddy, if you were so anti it?
No, I made more money out of it than I lost. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, but also, let me say one thing. Investing is an evolutionary thing. You learn. It's a learning curve all the time. And like I said...
Can the three of us go on record now, then, and just say, we're not saying that if this all goes gangbusters and you know it does really well, you can't then say, told you so. Because what we're saying is, we're not confident enough to get involved, and I've got other reasons. I've got a portfolio that I'm trying to reduce. So it could well do well, but I'm just not getting involved.
Do you honestly think I won't say told you so?
Yeah.
No, of course I will. Of course I'll rub it in. I've got to do that.
I'm in a situation where I'm waiting for all the other amazing tips you've given us to give me some money to invest in some new stocks.
Well, and also I'd say that I have been in stocks where they have a high cash proportion and to their market cap and all that, and it doesn't always translate to
look at the growth, right? The growth is there. They have the growth. And in fact, the last...
We're going down in circles now.
Let's
talk about something else.
It's all good having cash, but if you're not deploying
how
it...
How do you escape from this podcast?
Yeah, but if you can't, you know, deploy it into a business model that's not going to grow, then it's not going to work, is it? That's the whole thing. But,
are we in an escape room now?
Yeah. Croydon should be an escape room. It's one big... It'd be nice if you've got escape hand. Escape hand has signed a deal with Croydon. Just Croydon Council.
It appeals to Dominic Cummings, doesn't it? This is exactly the sort of direction this government's heading in.
Yeah. Well,
no one gets any food unless you escape from the next room.
Yeah. Well, no, do you know what? I don't know whether they're going to chat now, but... So let me quickly mention Gfinity. And I just think, you know, this Cadbury Hero Parents League, it's six figures. It's not a huge amount for them, but it just says to me, Cadbury, right... A massive brand, and you can understand that you've worked for brands. When you work for brands who believe in their brands, it's very hard work to get them to do something new or different, right? They have to be trusting because they want to protect that brand. Everything's about the brand, you know? So when you've got people, and like I said, I did post a picture of all the companies that Gfinity have worked with. There's some massive brands there from Formula One to FIFA and all that. And Cadbury just started. They've never, ever done esports before. Just another brand getting into it, you know? And they've used Gfinity. That's very good for Gfinity, you know, because it just shows them they're a trusted partner. And that's one leg of the strategy, of course. They've got their own events now in sports racing. Plus, their media business is growing. And also, they can advertise around all these events. Their media business will benefit from this, in advertising revenue, you know. So it's just that's the wheel, the sort of flywheel, is getting picking up speed, and they're generating more and more money from advertising and their events. So it's just picking up. So it'll break through. It's been trying to break through our 4 pence level. It will break through, I guarantee, sooner or later. It's resistance there, and once it breaks through, it'll just go nuts. I don't know if it'll go nuts, but it'll break into a new range. It's just a matter of time.
I'll be running through everyone else's portfolio and going, dump, keep, what the hell have you holding that stock for?
Yeah, well, Steve, I can't. He's got so many stocks. We'll take an hour and a half to get through them all. How many stocks are you holding, Steve?
Oh, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, I don't know, something like that.
What?
I don't know. I haven't counted them for a while.
You can't count that high.
The fact that you have to put some time aside to count them doesn't bode well.
Steve's
like, no, I've lost my login details.
He said to, he went to go on a date last night, and then said, no, sorry, I'm going to stay home counting my portfolio stocks, that's all.
21.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, come on, call them out. I've got to hear some of these beauties in there.
Come on, Steve.
Steve, you've got a dead head.
Oh, no, sorry, 20, because I'm counted 2 for Salt Lake Potash.
Okay, well, listen, go. Sonic Potash, have you seen that starting to come on the chart?
Utility-wise, they've gone bust, so no.
He's still holding
19. Those. Oh, yeah, so they're slowly coming down.
Oh, in fact, if you include the ones who've gone bust, you've probably got about 10 then, Steve.
Yeah.
If you don't include those.
No, read them out.
Go on, read them out.
Advanced Energy.
What?
Barrett Development.
Right, that's all right.
Really?
Bizant Resources, BT.
What?
BT, still got BT, go on.
Yeah,
BT still?
Yeah, I'm a bit in a hole there. I'm hoping one day that maybe, anyway. C4XD, Clearstar, Cora Gold, Musers, Feedback, Gfinity, i3 Energy, but I've literally got about 50 quid in there. I need to sell that. Motive Bio.
No.
Yeah, £30 in there. 98% down. One day that'll come back.
one day I'll do 10 bag that one.
Parity Group, Plarian, Salt Lake, United Oil and Gas, and Expedia.
Okay. And what's your overall percentage up or down?
Overall 5% down.
Yeah, no, I'm the same.
Steve, do you know where the sell button is on the interface?
Yeah, it's next to the buy one.
I've just become very close to stocks. I'm quite intimate with PC now. So,
but I thought didn't you get into profit with like Cora Gold? And that might have been. No, you're just holding that. Well, gold's not a bad.
Well, no. But that's the thing. I think it went up by about 70%, and I'm still 30% down in it.
Oh.
So I clearly bought in at the wrong time, But.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
For most of them, I've got such a small percentage, and it's kind of like
I know, but like I said, it's diverting energy from that. You could put all those little bits and pieces into a new stock that could generate double your money on. So it's just dead.
My £30 in most.
But then losing 15 quid.
£20 with the selling fees.
Well, let's see. What percentage of your
portfolio is Gfinity?
Roughly. Well, what have I got in there? So,
live maths from Steve.
Yeah.
The countdown clock. About 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It'll break up, Steve. When it breaks up next time, anything. It will sooner or later. Something will pop. It's tried now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Break 4 pence. 6 times. And once it does, once that happens, it will go nuts. All the moving averages in the right direction. This is ready to pop, guys. And it's sustainable. That's a good thing about it. This will keep going. It'll obviously then consolidate again. And it'll keep going again. John will improve the business. Keep improving the business. Margins will improve. Revenues will go up. It'll be sustainable over and over again in the hot space of esports. Even David Beckham's listening to the company. Now, this is a good question. You said, I had the same thought pattern as you, first of all, Pete. David Beckham's involved with Guild, right? Guild is an esports business, and he's going to list that. In fact, Blue Star Capital is an investor of that company, Guild. But he's going to list that on the main market. I think they're raising about 20 million. It's going to be worth about 50 million market cap. It'll be loss-making, of course. People say, money will leave Gfinity. I don't think it will. I think Gfinity will seem a bargain. But not only that, it'll bring awareness, even more awareness, to the esports arena. And it's happening. Like I said, I get an email every day from Google. You can set up Google Alerts on esports. And just do that yourself, right? And you see the amount of companies getting into esports and brands. It's phenomenal. And that kind of money flow inwards, you can see it. It's happening. This is just a start. And so, like, you know, Beckham getting in, other celebrities will be getting in as well. And then the money inflow, which is at the start here, the money inflow to esports will be massive. You can monetize it very well if you do it properly. Like I said, brands want to be associated, want to get in front of young kids' eyeballs, essentially. So it'll just a start. I think it's just it'll help. It'll bring more money in rather than take money away, I believe. So it's all good. It's all good in the hood. It just shows there's an active market. All right. Anything else? Any other ones we talk about? Any other stocks? So conversely, if you just have one stock, you know, then you lose that stock. You lost 100%. So that's ultimate, a massive amount of risk there. You lose 100% of your money. If you do 10 bags, of course, you get all that money in the 10 bags. That's a good thing. Yeah. Are you prepared for that risk reward? You know,
what's the sort of structure of your portfolio now, Justin, in terms of cash, and then how much have you got in each stock?
I generally have around about 10%. Most companies, I think, is a bit more in GFIN because obviously that's risen, and I started off big in that and reduced a little bit. Yeah. And it's a bit more in Salt Lake, I think. But around about
and 10% cash.
And I have about. Yeah, but so some companies I got are more risky, I think, are a bit less than 10%. But I've got nothing below 5%, because I realize now, if you're going to have conviction, go for it. You've got to have some conviction.
Yeah. Well, that's
why I can't trade. I mean, to trade, I need to put a big chunk in. And if I don't do enough, research, there's no point putting money in. You know, say, I'll put a couple of hundred quid in that. What's the point? There's the point there.
Yeah.
Go for it. I want on a good chunk of a business that can do well. So, I own nothing's less than 5%. Most companies are on about sort of 10%, a couple a little bit over that. But, and I've got about, no, down cash now, about 10% again.
Yeah.
The only thing I've got less than, so I've got 9 stocks, some of them below 10%, a couple a little bit above. I got about 3%, I think, in a fund, and 10%, you know. Cash. But I'm using that cash to top up probably on other companies. I may top slice on some, who knows, or just moving it around a bit. So it's how much risk or reward you take. You know, if you want your portfolio to go up by a lot, you've got to be prepared to take on a bit of risk as well. There's a bit of risk as well, you know. But of course, there is a way of reducing that risk on individual stocks, but make sure it's small caps. Make sure they're funded. Make sure there's some kind of plan and having a filter, quality filter, like I do, you know. So, yeah, that's the difference between gambling and investing, I feel. And it's always a learning curve, isn't it? You know, it's all a learning curve, you know.
Yeah, it's all a learning curve.
Yeah. I feel I'm getting better at it. And even now, I feel like I'm a lot better at it now than I was a year ago, even, you know. So I've been doing this for a long time. So it's still money along the way, but I still feel a lot better now. I'm understanding where I'm comfortable in, the spaces I'm comfortable in, you know, the size, the market cap, the businesses I like, and the risk I like in those businesses. And that's what I like. You know what I'm saying? Oh, do me a favour, boys. This is the podcast chat bit, right? It's
right.
Today.
So bye, everybody. Bye to the listeners.
Yeah. It's my fifth wedding anniversary. Right?
Oh.
Well, I didn't get Megan anything, but obviously Pete, you didn't turn up the wedding at all. So,
that's good point.
So, can you just say, you know, happy wedding anniversary to Megan right now? I'll just say, look, the boys all remembered. I also won't play this bit here. Just say off the cuff. Say, isn't it your wedding? Just say that, and then, you know, boys all say happy wedding anniversary to Megan. She'll be happy with that. Go on.
Paddy, go on,
I'll pretend to be talking about something. Why you just cut in and say, one of you just cut in. Here we go. This is my just banter. So that's what I think about diversification. You know,
hang on, Pete. Did you, what was that wedding? Was it your sister's wedding you went to the other week? Last anniversary?
Where's this going?
What?
Can we start that again, boys? That was rubbish. Yeah. But were your sisters? Did you have a plan in your head? Steve, did you have a plan in your head there? Or what?
It was your brother-in-law, wasn't it? Or your sister-in-law?
No, yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah, I see what you're going there, because that's the wedding I went to instead of Megan. Yeah, I think that's a bit more convoluted. Why don't you just go...
Start again. You go.
12th of September, that's your wedding anniversary.
So, as far as risk and reward is concerned, it depends where you want to go. You know, if that's the other thing, you know, feel free to step in, boys. So, depending on how many stocks you have, boys, you know, you could have 100 stocks. Boys! What have you say, for heaven's sake?
I thought I'd leave it to someone else this time.
Oh, okay. Paddy, your turn.
Justin, isn't it your wedding anniversary?
Yeah, Paddy, it is. Fancy remembering that. Yes. Yes, it is. And do you know what?
Yeah, I was there. I remember it really well. Yeah, it was a great day.
We shared a room together, didn't we, Pad? That was a memorable night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you feel free to say happy wedding anniversary to me and Megan. Maybe, you know.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Justin and Megan.
Just off the cuff, you know. God, that was hard, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I said that
5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean,
it's like a lot longer.
Obviously, we've been with each other for more than that. In fact, talking about that, because obviously Fred's 10 now. It's been more than 10 years. In fact, Fred came in the other day. I didn't realise how young they are, kids, even at 10, how little they know, you know, and how innocent they are. Do you know what he said to me? Fred said to me, he said, Dad, can two gay men give birth to a baby? I said, no. He said, what if they have sex for a very long time?
Good point.
I said, it doesn't matter how long you have sex for. Biologically, at the moment, it can't be done. So you can crack on for as long as they want, but it doesn't matter. Just that concept that you can crack on for, you know, you're really long, you know? I just couldn't stop laughing at that. I thought, you're quite innocent, and I thought you didn't realise at 10, you didn't realise how innocent they are. And,
okay.
I do. So, Steve, you, the Welsh, I looked, there's a thing on the BBC, you can check your area for COVID, you know?
And I was wondering where this was going then.
And you Welsh are dirty. You are. Are you washing down there or what?
It's only Caerphilly that's dirty. It's
not far from you lot. I mean, I'll take.
Well, there's a mountain in the way, so.
But hang on a sec. We did our search. What was your rate the other day? In Hampshire,
no, actually, if you look at the whole of the UK, Wales actually is the lowest out of everyone, apart from a little segment of Northern Ireland.
No. Hang on. Caerphilly is right about where my parents are.
Yeah, you're just thinking about one area. Any particular area in England as well.
On the news, they went around Caerphilly.
It's fake news. Wheels is clean.
They've got four times the threshold. Right? And this woman said, they went to Caerphilly and said, so I can't believe what he's locking us down in Caerphilly, right? What's the difference between us and everywhere else, right? What's the difference? And I thought, I tell you what, love, the difference is, you are a filthy inbred.
and
she wow. looked like that. I'm not joking. She looks like she hasn't seen a bit of soap in about 10 years, you know? But that's the difference, love. You've got to wash your hands.
You should work on the BBC, Justin, because honestly, your interview techniques and, fantastic.
Wow.
What I find is stupid, right, is I do find this six people thing, because it's not the bubble thing, is it? It's any six people you can go out with. So if you are UK Swingers Club, you know, the Swingers of UK, you could say, oh, listen, boys and girls, I'll do it in a Welsh accent, because it's better. I'm sending out this email newsletter, our latest instalment for the UK Swingers Club. We cannot now have orgies of more than six people, right? But you can have a six, so you can have as many as you want, every hour of the day, but you can't have more than six. Now, they can be complete strangers, and that is absolutely insane. I mean, there's no logic to this, is there? Just let people get on with it, protect people, stand away from people, wash your hands, you know, wear a mask if you can, and then vulnerable people, we need to sort of protect them. That's what we need to say. Keep saying that. Rather than just having these random numbers. It doesn't matter, does it? Is it completely insane or what?
Yeah, no, it's completely, it's illogical, a lot of it, because it's so easy to interpret, like, yeah, exactly, say six people and then a different six people, but you're in the same, you know, so you could go, in a space of a week, you could have met 50 different people, couldn't you, or something? Because you could have had loads of different gatherings of six people.
If you're in the UK Swingers Club, you can do a lot more than that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And they have to put some sort of measure. No, they don't have to put any sort of measure. I don't know what I'm saying. No,
just stay apart, wash your hands, be clean, wash your hands, you know.
Yeah.
And, Paddy, did you have your test this week, didn't you? Paddy gone?
He's just gone.
He does that. He didn't say goodbye or anything.
No, I was on mute.
You had your test. Your COVID nurse came around and did your test.
Yeah, first one.
You enjoyed?
I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. It was...
she's coming back tomorrow.
She's coming back next week. So it's one a week for 5 weeks. And one a month after that.
Did she tell you... But you get these big, long sort of Johnson's cotton wool buds. And she asked you to shove them right in there, didn't she? Every orifice. I did every orifice to make sure, you know. I said, no, listen, I want to be sure. She, you know, you got to get them right in the tonsils, so you're gagging, you know. So you put it right in the tonsil. And then you put up your nose straight after that. It's like, what is going on here?
Not the same one.
Yeah, yep. That's what happened with me. Yeah, same one. You put.
I mean, it's all sort of linked, Steve, really, at the back there. It's not really any different.
Yeah. And then you go to the next orifice. Everyone, you've got to do them in the right order, the orifices. Otherwise, you know, it's going to really smell horrible. So I do nose at the start, really, you know.
Okay, so but I don't understand, though, that if the virus is so spreadable that we've got to wear masks and stuff, why do they have to put this cotton bug so far down up your nose and down your neck?
Well, no, that's it. It's not...
Sure, they just need to tap it in your mouth.
It's not that spreadable, really. It's literally, if you see it, people in a high-intense situation like the NHS, of course, they're going to get it because it's flying around everywhere. There's people in there, and so it's in the air. But if you're outdoors, you know, and there's one person got it within 20 yards, you're never going to get it. It's been blowing around everywhere. So it's like diluted version of it, isn't it? It's like having, so...
The point is that different people have different strengths of it. So you can have it, but you can have it at a really low level. So you have to swap the back of your throat to make sure that they've got it if you've got it.
It's like Steve,
right? So someone says to you, drink a pint of vodka. That's a strong drink, right? That's a lot. If someone says, you know, drink a pint of water with a dash of vodka in it, you know, that's a difference. So it's like, if you work in the NHS, it's like drinking a pint of vodka. If you're dealing with a COVID patient every day, that's you're immersed in it. But if you're in the park and there's one person in the park with it, it's not going to touch you, really, is it? No.
So you've both been randomly selected to do this programme. Is that right?
Yes, and you get vouchers.
Yeah.
As I said at the start, I didn't want to do it. And they said, vouchers.
The tests.
Every time you get a voucher, I said, oh, lovely. Give me more.
I didn't ask about the vouchers. What's the vouchers?
Well, apparently you can get vouchers if you shop in shops.
For what?
Just shoving the things, because you have to shove them in your orifices and stuff. Like, you know,
no, the vouchers for what?
the more you get a £5 per orifice.
Great deal.
So I earned 50,
going full on, yeah.
Yeah, I earned 45 quid on that one. How many orifices have you got? How many orifices have you got? That one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
okay.
7.
Right. When we get to the point where you're counting your orifices, I think it's time to finish the podcast.
No, so hang on, Pat. So there's this test. Let me ask you one thing. I didn't ask the nurse this. I just asked about the vouchers. This is antigen. It's not antibodies. It's to see if you've got it, not if you've had it. Is that right or what? I don't understand what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think they give you an antibody test at some point as well, but we're just like a control group, and they're trying to have a nice cross-section of the population, which is probably why they had you as a family, and then me as a single bachelor.
Single serial killer.
Just man about town, just to see who is getting the virus without actually going for a test or seeing doctors.
The level of infection in Croydon must be huge, mustn't it?
No, we had 14 cases last week.
Are you sure, Pad?
There's not been a death since June. Yeah, I'm on this. I'm on top of this. Croydon's really low.
Yeah, but not a death from COVID. But there's people being killed every night, isn't there? So
not a death. Well, yeah.
From muggings, and just general violence.
It's a very safe town. It's fine. What was I going to say? Yeah, it's like north of East Anglia is not great at the moment. I think Manchester, the north of England.
What's this, Paddy? Paddy's got our COVID correspondent now, have you?
Yeah. COVID live.
I look at the map every day just to see where we are, just to see what's going on.
Paddy pandemic.
I think there's a bit of an issue going on with like the media aren't really reporting this with much context.
No, they're not.
And that's like fostering a lot of fear unnecessarily. And people should be aware of the virus and should be taking precautions.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the map, although the cases are going up, they're going up in areas rather than in your hometown necessarily.
Cardiff, 19 cases per 100,000, Steve. That is disgusting. That is you should be ashamed of yourself.
That's not too bad. That didn't sound too bad to me.
East, which is the council for me, 7. You are on the threshold, Steve. 20 is the threshold, isn't it? They don't let people...
Yeah, but these little bursts, so when you actually look into it, most of them, usually they're finding that these 20 people are all within the same street or the household. So
yeah, your street, probably. Your swinging street. Right. Anything else worth chatting about or not? That's it, I think, isn't it?
No, that's plenty.
That's more than...
That's another thing.
All right, bye bye.
Have a nice happy
birthday, anniversary, Justin.
Happy birthday.
Just say it to Megan. She'll prefer that. Just say happy birthday, Megan. Blokes don't care.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Bloody hell. Right, thanks, boys. Cheers, man. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your help.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.